Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls.
Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and as always, I'm here with women's health nurse practitioner Lindsay Van Schoik. And today on the show, we have Dr. Amy, who is the thyroid fixer. So we're super, super excited.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. If you're a client of Rejuvenating, you know that I have sent you a bunch of her podcasts to listen to and even some supplements to take. So we're really excited to have you on. I've learned so much from you. So you're like a role model to me, even if you don't even know. And it's the first time we're ever meeting. So thank you for that.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. No, it's my pleasure to be on here. I love your show. I love that you are sending this message out for women. So yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So let's dig right in. I know before we hit record, we were kind of talking about what we wanted to talk about. And I think most women in general want to know how to lose weight, where their energy went, where their libido went, why their hair is falling out, all of those things. And so we know that thyroid plays a huge role in that. And it's super underlooked by the medical conventional healthcare world.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah. Where do you want to start? Where should we start? So when we're talking about weight loss, I mean, just like we talked about off camera, thyroid, testosterone, insulin. So we can go down any of those rabbit holes, but I think it's important for people to know that when we're talking about losing weight, you have to have those hormones in place and optimized before anything else, because I'm sure you see this in your practice all the time. It doesn't matter how perfect your diet is, how much you exercise. I don't care if you go to the gym twice a day and you're on the best program in the world. It's not going to work. You're not going to lose weight unless you have those other boxes checked.
Yeah. Yeah. And most people don't know that they have issues with those boxes. And if they go to their doctor and complain that I can't lose weight and I'm tired, their doctor doesn't check for those things to see if they're in optimal level, or they'll check a thyroid, but they'll check a TSH, or they'll check a hemoglobin A1C and not a fasting insulin, or testosterone is a male hormone. It's not even a female hormone.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
So what would you say, like, we know all three of those are important. Is there a certain one that you think is like a leading domino where you need that one in place first before the other ones? Or what do you kind of do regarding that?
Definitely. So let's start with the thyroid. Okay. Now, I do have a theory that I always talk about on the podcast. I use this when working with patients. Both and, meaning we have to treat everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. We can't just, in conventional medicine, we'll do this. Let's just focus on your thyroid and totally ignore the fact that your testosterone's in the crapper and you have insulin resistance, but we'll just focus on the thyroid right here. Like, no, let's do it all. Because if we do it all, that's going to give you the most bang for your buck, and it's going to give you the results that you want in a shorter time. So if we start with the thyroid, though, because the thyroid is the master gland, I think we have to start there.
Right.
The thyroid will have an impact on insulin and sex hormones, including testosterone. So if the thyroid's off, it's going to be virtually impossible to really get insulin and testosterone optimized, because now your thyroid gland is up here controlling the entire show, controlling your body. And it's going to say, hey, insulin, I know you're taking some berberine and, you know, this person's really cutting back on their carbs, but I'm still all messed up. So you're going to be messed up too. So we have to start with the master gland. The thyroid controls, just like I said, your entire body. So it controls your metabolism, your energy, the rate that your hair grows, if at all. It definitely will cause your hair to fall out if it's low. Uh-huh. It's going to control your brain function, your mood. Depression and anxiety are really big when thyroid function is low. But in the context of weight, it is controlling the furnace of your body. It is controlling your metabolism. It is dictating whether or not you burn that stored body fat that you want to burn, or whether you just keep adding to your fat stores because your thyroid is low and slow. So you have to start there and optimize the thyroid first.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a lot of people have this preconceived notion where they're like, I have thyroid disease, so I can't lose weight. And I'm like, no, you're just not getting your thyroid treated properly, right? You're on T4 only, and it makes such a difference. Like, I know even for myself, so I've kind of been like, I'm healthy, I work out, I don't need to lose weight, but my testosterone was in the toilet. So I kind of started there and did some testosterone replacement. But my testosterone levels are normal. I'm just like, what the heck? I am like super fatigued. So my TSH is 1, but my free T3 was like 2. And I was like, okay, this is why I feel terrible. So I started on T3 and now it's back up to like an optimal range. I'm like, I feel so much better with my energy and just everything. But if I would have went to my doctor and said, I'm feeling fatigued, I would have had a TSH ran and no testosterone. And they would have been like, you're fine. You just need to suck it up a little bit.
Yep. Yep. And then you would have gotten an antidepressant.
Yes.
As a Band-Aid.
Yes, exactly. So talk about some how ferritin plays a role, because I know you talk about that a lot in the thyroid, and I think that's underlooked a lot too, and just how that supports the thyroid.
Absolutely. So when we pull an iron panel, we have to pull an iron panel with ferritin. Ferritin, that's your iron stores. And it's really fascinating when you start going down the ferritin rabbit hole of how low ferritin levels will mimic hypothyroid symptoms. And low ferritin can even cause weight gain. So the fatigue, the weight gain, the hair loss, everything can overlap low thyroid function with low ferritin levels. Mm-hmm. And you really want the optimal ferritin in my world. Now, Lindsay, if you have a different range, jump in here. But yeah, optimal for me, I like to see it 60 to 80. And when you start listening to other people in the thyroid space, there are some functional docs out there that even say, hey, with Hashimoto's, we might want that a little bit closer to 100, actually. So yeah, ferritin is vitally important.
Yeah, I normally shoot for around 80. But I know normal on a lab panel is like 20 something to, it's not normal at all. Like if you look at the ranges, but I normally try to
like
shoot
all the labs on a standard lab value range starts here. And apparently you're normal if you're in the basement, but
yeah, I don't think people realize that on standard labs, there's like, you're the lowest of lows or the highest of highs. And then it's everything in between, but that doesn't mean that you're optimal.
And right,
that gets confusing because I even have like sometimes my clients will see their labs before I like they'll see them before I get to go over them with them, and they'll be like, my labs are all normal, I don't understand. I'm like going through and I'm like, those are not normal. Like, I know, I get it, they're normal, they're not red, they're not marked high or low, but those are not normal labs.
Right. No, I ask that question all the time. Are they normal or are they optimal? And they're like, well, they were, you know, within the lab value range. I'm like, right, but were they normal or were they optimal? So yeah, two different worlds. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but who was it? Mark Hyman actually said this perfectly, that the standard lab value range is like the side of a barn, and the optimal lab value range is like putting a bullseye on the side of that barn. So yeah, I mean, if I give you a ball and you stand back, you're going to hit the side of the barn somewhere. But if I tell you, hey, here's a 5-inch bullseye, can you hit that? You may not. And that's really where that optimal range comes in, because we look at people who are living their best life and we say, hey, why don't we aim for that? That's where you want to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. So they get these labs back and their thyroid's not optimal. We get a lot of questions then from like, okay, well, my doctor's not really wanting to prescribe something right now. What's something I can do myself? Because we always want people to use lifestyle interventions before we do medications. So a lot of questions we get asked are, what supplements can I take? What foods do I need to avoid? What type of things can they do in their lifestyle to help support that thyroid?
Okay, so biggest, easiest thing that you can do is go gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And here's why. And this is not just a fad thing. This isn't just, you know, fad advice because everybody's saying it. When we look at hypothyroidism, 95% is Hashimoto's. That's the autoimmune form. So that means that you have these little soldiers that are inside your body and they're super confused and they think your thyroid is a bad guy. So they go out to attack your thyroid gland. Now, those soldiers will launch an attack whenever you eat gluten. Why? Because that molecule in gluten called gliadin looks just like the thyroid gland. It's something called molecular mimicry. It has a similar structure to where your soldiers believe that a bad guy is coming in when you eat gluten. So they see gluten coming in, they're like, listen, here's that invader, this bad thing again. We need to launch an attack. Mm-hmm. And they will go out and they will attack your thyroid more. So just think, if you're getting beat up every day, you're not going to do your job well. You're not going to feel good. You're not going to work at your optimal level. Same thing with your thyroid. When it's getting beat up, it's not going to produce the thyroid hormones that your body needs. It's not going to work properly. If we just eliminate gluten, we have now eliminated those extra attacks. We keep the soldiers in their barracks and basically hold them there while we work on everything else, while we work on lowering your inflammation and lowering your antibodies and building up your thyroid hormone. So that's the big lifestyle, easy breezy one. Then we can kind of get into the supplementation. So we know that your thyroid gland needs certain minerals and nutrients to function properly. Magnesium, selenium, not too much. So that does not mean take a ton of selenium every day like all y'all do, because I know you. I've seen you come into the groups and into my practice and you're all popping like 200 to 400 megs of selenium every day because you read it on a Facebook group that it's good for your thyroid. Minimal amounts, you know, eat a couple Brazil nuts every day. Take a magnesium supplement. Iodine, I am a huge fan of. The thyroid needs iodine. It lowers reverse T3. It helps convert T4 to T3. And iodine will bind to the bad halides that are really toxic to the thyroid gland. So chlorine that we're exposed to every day in our municipal water source. Mm-hmm. Fluoride that we all got as kids. And if you're still using fluoride toothpaste, shame on you. Take it out. Do not expose your thyroid gland to fluoride. And bromide, which if you have a hot tub, you're soaking in bromide. God forbid you're drinking Mountain Dew. Yeah, bromide is in there. So the iodine will actually bind to those halides and help detoxify them out of their body and form protection of the thyroid gland from those bad halides. So I'm a huge fan of iodine. And then there's, you know, there's other kind of specialty supplements that we can use. We can use black cumin seed oil to lower Hashimoto antibodies. We can use, we were talking offline, T2. Huge fan. I know a lot of your people use Thyroid Fixer. T2 is another thyroid hormone. It's 3,5-diiodothyronine is the big long word for it. But it's a thyroid hormone that will not affect your thyroid gland because it works at the mitochondrial level. So it's going to work to increase your energy. This is more of symptom relief rather than actually coming back and moving thyroid numbers. This is more symptom relief of increasing your basal metabolic rate. So literally you're burning fat when you're sitting on the couch watching Netflix,
which everyone wants,
and increasing your ATP production at the mitochondrial level. So that's going to help with nice steady energy through the day. So there are certain things that we can absolutely do, even if you are, like you said, Lindsay, stuck on T4, you're being told that you're normal and everything is fine from your doctor. There are things that you can do to make a significant impact in your life and how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've heard you this say before, but like, you don't like any thyroid antibodies, like zero, none, where normal is. Zero. Yeah. And I'm the same way. I'm like, if you have any, then there's something attacking your thyroid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many people will get told that they don't have Hashimoto's, but then, you know, we look at their labs, it's like, oh, your TPO is a 17. Yeah, I know the cutoff is 34, but you have 17 soldiers that are beating up your thyroid gland. So I guess, are we going to wait until it gets to 35 and then we'll call it? Or are we going to do something now?
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think...
That's a good analogy. Yeah,
why do you think healthcare providers are so scared of T3 or only prescribing T4? Is it just because that's what we were taught in medicine? That's the only thing I was taught in standard medicine as well.
Yeah.
I
think that's it. I really do. So years ago, I tell the story a lot. Years ago, I gave a talk to integrative wellness physicians. So they were really trying to bone up their knowledge of the thyroid. And they were already, you know, they were integrative. They were already kind of breaking outside of the box of conventional medicine. But we got to talking and I was saying, why are you in the Synthroid box? You know, if we have somebody that's, or if conventional medicine has someone that's depressed, we'll try this antidepressant. We'll try that one. We'll pair two of them up. We'll throw on an antipsychotic and a benzo. But in the world of thyroid, you're prescribing one thing, Levo, Synthroid, T4. It's all the same. Why are you in the Synthroid box? And the one doc raises his hand, goes, that's all we've learned.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I think that's the answer.
Yeah, it's super frustrating to me because it's like I tell my patients, I'm like, you are your own biggest advocate, right? So if your doctor won't listen to, like, take this information I'm giving it to you, present it to your doctor. Like, I can even give you research to back it. But if they're not willing to listen to you and, like, go do the research, then you need to find a new doctor because they're practicing in 19, like, when they first got their medical degree. If they're not open to new ideas, then they're probably not going to be the best doctor for you, because like, let's be real, people that come to us are wanting to feel good and they're paying money to feel good. So that doctor probably isn't going to coincide with your goals and maybe the views of what you're wanting.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're insurance driven.
Yeah.
So they only have 7 to 10 minutes with you max. They don't have the time to sit there and listen. They don't have the time to paint the picture of what's going on with you, with your labs, to see, are you really optimal? No, they're looking for that H or that L. They're looking for the red. And if it's red, they'll stop, they'll pause. Hey, what's going on here? But if it's not, they're just breezing through your labs and moving on to the next one.
Yeah. And in that, there's never a talk about, like, are you eating gluten or are you eating processed foods and moving your body? It's just, let's put a Band-Aid on maybe what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So thyroid, we got to get that optimized. Then testosterone. So I love testosterone for women. Like, it makes such a difference in your life. And it is so underlooked and undervalued, I feel like, by our women population or by the medical population when it comes to women. I mean, it's not even FDA approved to give to women, which is so infuriating to begin with.
Exactly. Well, just like you said in the beginning, the medical system forgets that we actually, have some testosterone. It's not just a male hormone, believe it or not. Like, let's just go back to the biology books, right? It's one of my favorite hormones too. I love it. I see it change lives. I see it literally bring women back to life. And it's all about the interplay. It's the conjunction of everything. So we're fixing your thyroid. Now we're getting your testosterone levels up to an optimal range. That's going to help you to lose weight, build muscle, have a libido. Between the thyroid and the testosterone, your brain's all lit up. Now you have motivation to go do things and motivation to get to the gym and take care of yourself. It's a game changer.
Yeah. And I think if you're looking for longevity, you need that testosterone to preserve your muscle mass, right? Like, if you don't want to be in a nursing home and you want to live a long, healthy life, testosterone is a huge player. So you don't have that muscle wasting that you get when you're getting older.
Huge. And the cardiovascular impact too. I mean, it's a huge protector of the cardiovascular system. And it also helps to lower thyroid antibodies. So we're going to kind of tie it back around. There was a study done, and of course the study was done on men, but when you look at the population of men that have Hashimoto's, it's pretty low. Mm-hmm. And the reason why women have Hashimoto's thyroiditis more than men is we have lower testosterone levels. Men's natural testosterone level is higher than a woman's, and that testosterone is protective. So this study looked at a group of men with low testosterone, connected it to higher incidences of Hashimoto's, and when they were given TRT, their Hashimoto antibodies went down. So the correlation was testosterone is very protective against autoimmune and can actually help to lower Hashimoto antibodies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we can talk about testosterone without talking about sex hormone binding globulin, because I think that's so confusing for people, even providers. I see this is not done well. Like, I'll see providers pay just attention to the testosterone level and they're not looking at sex hormone binding globulin. I'm like, you don't even know how much testosterone is getting into that woman's tissues. You're just looking at this number, which is, again, you're trying to be this integrative functional medicine doctor, but you're not looking at the whole patient or looking about what they're telling you. You're just looking at a lab value.
Yeah. Oh no, I test for that all the time. And in fact, it's funny. So I was seeing a lot of high SHBG, a lot. And here's the thing, sex hormone binding globulin will actually increase when we're doing the very things that are going to give you life again. Mm-hmm. So when we give you T3, when we give you testosterone, when we replace your low estradiol, those three things will naturally push up SHBG. So we're giving you the things that you need. Now SHBG starts to climb. And SHBG will bind to your free testosterone. It'll bind to your estradiol. It'll bind a little bit to T3. So I actually did create a product to lower SHBG. We know that tonkatoline and boron are fantastic at lowering SHBG levels. So I created the product called SHBG Fixer. And then nobody knew what SHBG was. Yeah. So we changed it to Bedroom Fixer. And then all these women came out from God knows where and said, "We're educated. We know what SHBG is. Can you change it back?" So now we're changing it back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's funny.
So apparently people know, just their doctors don't know what SHBG is. But I guess it's because we educate them.
But they don't. And I see that a lot with like pellet providers and stuff like that. Is that it's like a calculator and you're not taught everything that goes into it. So just if you're going to get testosterone, ladies, make sure that you're going to someone that looks at everything, I would say.
Everything. Yes. Yeah. Not a run-of-the-mill hormone clinic.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
They're like popping up everywhere, like a semaglutide clinic. It's a hormone clinic at every corner. It's super frustrating.
Everywhere. Absolutely. That's another rabbit hole we could go down, but.
I always try to tell people though, because I'm like, I get it. You're trying to like go the cheapest way and do the most conventional way, but make sure that you're getting your education and your supplements and your hormones from someone that knows what they're doing and is really caring for you, not the money in their pockets per se.
And there's a sweet spot with testosterone. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it is more a male driven hormone. So yeah, ladies, you can get too much. And when you do get too much, especially in the form of pellets, it will raise your – I have seen women come in with dude levels of testosterone. I mean, I'm talking 900, 700, and their hair's falling out, and they're breaking out, and they're poofy, and they're gaining weight. It's like, well, yeah. And now that pellet is in you, and you just have to ride it out. You got to ride out all those symptoms until it dissolves. So that's the problem with these hormone clinics. They're giving – women, even outside of the pellets, they're giving women these astronomically high levels, high amounts of testosterone because they feel like it'll fix everything and it's making the situation worse. Mm-hmm. So there is a sweet spot with testosterone between no, you can't have it and here's a boatload, go have fun. Like find that middle ground.
Yeah, I agree. And work with someone that you can really have that conversation with about how you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got your thyroid optimized. You got some testosterone in your body. The last thing I see is women that, okay, we've got these two things fixed, but their insulin is still like 40 and they can't get weight off because they're insulin resistant.
Yep. Yep. Just had a patient like that last week. That was the last thing. It was like, okay, so we have everything lined up except this insulin and A1C here. What are you eating? You know, and when you really have to come down to, okay, what are you eating? How's your stress level? Because those things will absolutely push up your insulin. And we know that there are other things like toxicity and gut and adrenals, but let's just focus on what's right in front of us. The most blatantly obvious factors of insulin resistance, once you weed out the thyroid as being controlling insulin and maybe throwing it off, is what are you putting in your mouth, how many carbohydrates, and what's your stress level? Because those factors will drive up glucose and insulin like nobody's business.
Yeah, yeah. I see that a lot. People are just not eating. They're eating too many carbs, not the right carbs, not at the right time. And then their blood sugars are just going haywire. And I think in conventional medicine, we focus so much on hemoglobin A1C and fasting blood sugar, which my fasting blood sugar is elevated every single time I go get it done. I think it's because my mornings are just stressful. And so,
it just
spikes it. But my insulin is 6 and my hemoglobin A1C is like 5.1. So I'm fine. Like it doesn't matter. But to get a doctor to check a fasting insulin, they just don't, it's just not standard practice at all.
Mm-mm. No, you have to ask for it. You know, how many people have said, you know, they're coming to you for the first time, they have their blood work that maybe you didn't order yet, right? Or they're either on Facebook asking a question. They go, okay, well, what should I be looking for? I go, insulin. They're like, what? It's another name for it. I'm like, insulin. Yeah. Like, it's not under any, your doctor's not going to just rent, you're not going to see it. Like, you're not going to see it on your labs. You have to ask for it. You have to ask for it by name. It's not another name. Like, just ask for insulin, right?
Yeah. And I think women need to understand that, like, that is a fat storage hormone. So if your insulin is super high, you're going to store fat. I don't care if you're eating 800 calories of donuts a day. Like, you have to get your carbs down, eat some protein, and get your insulin level down, or you're not going to lose weight. Because I see that so much where someone's doing some stupid diet where they're eating really low calorie, but then their insulin's still through the roof. And I'm like, your fat storing hormone is crazy.
Right. So you're dropping your metabolism by starving yourself. Starving yourself is a stressor. So there goes your insulin even higher because it's raising in response to that stress. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I see that all the time. And sometimes that is the one thing. And sometimes you'll have the woman that says, but I am low carb. I'm eating a ketogenic diet. And that's where I'll say, you know what? Just go get a CGM then, because you're eating something. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, you know, the keto foods. I'm using air quotes here, because for me, it was keto cereal. I bought a bag of the keto marketed cereal. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the highest spikes I had when I was wearing a CGM. That and an almond milk latte with a pump of sugar-free syrup in it. Now, normally I won't do the sugar-free because of the artificial sweetener, but I was just jonesing for it that day. And I thought, I don't know. Like, come on. Like, just one. And oh my God, my blood sugar went to 180. So either that almond milk had a lot of sugar in it, or I was responding to the artificial sweetener. And it's when you get that data, when you actually look at, what am I putting in my mouth and how is my body responding to it? Or like you said, Lindsay, how's my morning? It's crazy stressful. How is my blood sugar responding to it? That will really give you deep insight into what you need to change in your life. Because what you think you're doing and what you're actually doing or how your body's responding to it can be two completely different things.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that that's super beneficial for women too, that are maybe like waking up in the middle of the night, because they can see, okay, I'm waking up because my blood sugar is crashing, or because I see that a lot too. And I'm like, once we fix your blood sugar and your insulin, you're going to quit waking up in the middle of the night like that.
Do you ever wear a CGM after you drank?
No.
So true story. So here's me. I throw on my CGM and I go to my best friend's birthday party. And she literally says to me that night, she goes, you know, when I'm wearing my CGM and I drink, I plummet in the middle of the night. I have low blood sugar. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Well, this CGM that I put on was like one of the newer ones that apparently I did not know how to turn off the alarm, nor did I think that I had to. But sure enough, 2 a.m. after two glasses of wine earlier in the night, this alarm's going off. My husband's like, what the hell's that? I'm like, that's my CGM. I dropped low and I was like, oh my God, she's right. So the alcohol spiked me high and then plummeted me low, which woke me up in the middle of the night, which is why we do wake up in the middle of the night when we drink. Yeah. We don't get deep sleep when we drink. It totally screws up your blood sugar. So same thing, if you have erratic blood sugar because you're eating popcorn before bed, or, you know, something like I said, like a keto snack, that might be enough to raise you high and then drop you low. And you go, why do I keep waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning? Well, that's why.
I think people, when they think about insulin resistance and blood sugars, they think it's purely related to food, and they don't realize that, like, you, the cardio bunnies, when you're like, just like going to town on the cardio, you're having a cortisol response, and that's going to raise your blood sugar too. Or if you're not getting the good sleep between like 10 and 2, or getting that deep sleep, or you're having these weird wonky sleep times, like, that's going to raise your blood sugar too. Like, it has so much to do with lots of different exercise modalities and sleep and all that stuff.
Yep.
It's hard to get women not to do cardio, though.
Oh, gosh. I know. We just have to keep preaching. That's why I have hats that say LHS. Like, just go lift heavy shit.
So, I know. Just pick up the weight. You're not going to get bulky. Yeah. It's really hard to put muscle mass on. Like, really hard.
So hard. And all that cardio. I got to tell you, I stopped doing cardio because, my goodness, I competed, right? So cardio was in my blood. That's what you did. You did cardio to burn fat. You did cardio to burn fat. Sometimes you did cardio twice a day. Stupid. I mean, looking back, oh my God, how dumb were we? So I stopped doing cardio probably like 3 years ago. Now, does my heart rate still get elevated when I lift heavy? Yes. Will I sometimes throw in some burpees? Yes. I was doing reverse lunges with 20-pound kettlebells today, and I looked down, I was like 165. Yeah, it's an elevated heart rate like you're doing cardio, but I'm doing resistance training. It's just getting, my heart rate's getting up into the cardiovascular realm. So I stopped doing cardio, and I got to tell you, my body comp is better now, and I'm going to be 50 in February, is better now than I was 25 competing. Totally better. Better muscle, more muscle, lower body fat, maintenance of the same. So instead of going on a roller coaster, like I gained 10 pounds and I have to lose it now, and I gained 20 and I have to lose it. I just maintain and just kind of maybe 2 to 3 fluctuation, but that's just normal for a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of, I live in like cornfields in the Midwest, so I see a lot of women just running, which I did that. Like I ran the Boston Marathon and I was the unhealthiest person, like unhealthiest I've ever been at that time. I got my hemoglobin A1C checked and it was like 6. Like, and I was not eating terrible, but just like doing that much cardio and putting that much stress on my body. So I quit running marathons and switched to weight training. And I agree, like I'm so much more healthier. My body composition is so much better. Stress levels are, my body just feels better.
No doubt. Hands down.
So I think just like a lot of people don't understand, do you know what I mean? And that's what I think is so great about your podcast and our podcast as well, is just continuing that education, because so many people, they just don't know. And if you don't know, you can't do what's right if you don't know, right? And if your doctor's telling you something, you're going to believe them because they're in the place of authority and you're trusting them. So I just think it's great to get all of this information out to women, for sure.
Very good point. And I get into the habit or the wrong thought process of, well, they've heard this before. But, you know, there's always new women waking up, coming to light, realizing that they want to be a health advocate. They want to take control of their bodies. They don't like what's going on. They don't know the person in their mirror anymore. And there's new women every day that we have to educate. And you're right. If they don't know, what do you do?
Yeah. And I find it sometimes too. I'm like, my patients and the people I work with get tired of hearing it from me. They need to hear it from someone else. Like, it's like they need a third party to come in and tell them the same thing. Yeah. We're saying it in a different way, and that different way clicks for them. And they're like, okay, I finally get it. Like, I'm going to listen.
Yes. Definitely.
So I know one supplement that I like to use with insulin resistance is berberine, which I know you have your blood sugar fixer too, which you like to use as well. Is there any other ones that you use for insulin resistance or any other things that you recommend?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if someone's not responding to berberine, maybe we'll stack on an inositol on top of that, just kind of as a 1-2 punch. Really, I mean, that's the key. Other supplements will have an insulin lowering effect, but not as strong as berberine. Like even when we look at T2, it improves insulin resistance. When we look at black cumin seed oil, and improves insulin resistance because it's lowering inflammation. All of these outside things will help with insulin resistance. Alpha lipoic acid, sometimes we'll throw that in there. But really, I mean, if you really want something that works like metformin, the actual type 2 diabetic drug, but in a natural form with a few more benefits, it's going to be berberine.
Yeah, I mean, the gut health benefits too that from berberine are super great. And I know that's like another huge complaint that I get from clients is I'm constipated or diarrhea or bloating, or which is a whole nother rabbit hole we could go down, because if you're not pooping, you're not healthy.
No, you're not. Yeah.
So we get a ton of questions about GLP-1s. So when do you use those, if you ever use those?
Okay. So the GLPs. I lovingly call them the Beverly Hills Soccer Mom drug of choice for weight loss.
Yeah.
I do. Because what happened when they came out? Every Kardashian and their sister went out and started on the GLPs. And the problem is that they started on them. The GLP ones will negate your appetite. I mean, it's the craziest thing. Of course, I experiment on myself because I'm like, what's up with this? So just no appetite at all. I would take a bite of steak. I'd be like, I'm done. And I love steak. I mean, I could not finish it. Couldn't finish it. So they kill your appetite. And the problem with this is that many women were running with that. Like, oh, I have no appetite. And thus the weight loss. But they weren't changing their food habits. They weren't getting in enough protein. They just weren't eating. So what happens on the other side? Yep, you lost the weight. Now what about when you go off of it? Or what about when your insurance no longer covers it? Weight's coming back on because you didn't change your habits. And on top of that, you just downregulated your own metabolism and you lost muscle mass, which is true. So here's me on the GLPs playing around with it. And an article comes out from Peter Attia about the lean muscle mass loss. I'm like, no, I didn't experience that. 2 weeks later, I kid you not, I'm seeing like these wrinkles forming on my arms and my knees because I am losing muscle mass. So now if any patient goes on it, anybody goes on it, I say, you better eat protein like it is your second job. I don't care what you get in or don't get in that day. You better be getting in 120 to 150 grams of protein to preserve your muscle mass because you will lose muscle mass on these things. Now, on the flip side, I don't want to totally bash the GLPs because they are great tools. I mean, fantastic for type 2 diabetes, but also I do like to use them when we have a patient that we're optimizing and they're just stuck. And it's like, man, come on. Like, I just want to lose a couple of pounds. Maybe that's what you need to get going. I even used it with my best friend because I knew her eating habits were bad. She's a stressed out type A entrepreneur. She gained weight and this was going to be that one thing to nudge her. And once we got her going on it, she actually saw her body changing. She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to eat cleaner now because this is fantastic. I'm actually losing weight for the first time in 5 years. And oh yeah, I'm going to go to the gym now and work my ass off because now I'm getting rewarded for my efforts. So it's like the GLPs actually helped her, number one, get to a healthier weight. And then number two, motivate her to be a healthier version of herself because now she could see the possibilities and push past that blockade. So I think it's good and bad. You just have to do it right. You have to do it right.
Yeah, I see that too. Like I have a few patients that I'm like, okay, like you're doing everything right. Everything's optimized and you're not budging. So let's do it, but let's do it in a safe way where you're eating the protein, you're still lifting the weights, and then you have a plan to come off of it in a way where you're not going to have that rebound weight gain. But I think for so many people, it's an easy fix because it kills their appetite. And you do get drastic weight loss from it. But I was doing a consult before we got on this podcast and she's like, well, I was on Wegovy and I lost 26 pounds. She's like, I haven't gained very much of it back. I stopped in August. She's like, but I've gained 6 pounds. I'm like, you've gained 6 pounds since August? Like that's, if you keep doing that, like you're going to gain it all back by the end of the year. Yeah.
All back.
So you are gaining it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So thyroid, testosterone, insulin resistance, anything else that you feel like women need to be paying attention to when they're fatigued, not losing weight, hair's falling out?
Yeah. I mean, we could go down the other hormonal pathway of estrogen and progesterone as well. So do they play a role? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When we see women enter perimenopause and menopause, they can go into an estrogen dominant state and then they can drop off and that estrogen goes low and FSH goes high. So we will see weight gain during those times, whether it's the dominant or the non-existent estrogen. And then progesterone comes in to help us regulate water retention. It helps with mood. It helps with sleep. So if you're not sleeping, then that's all is everything is connected, right? If you're not sleeping, then here goes your blood sugar. Insulin resistance will come on within days of poor sleep. Progesterone helps get that deeper sleep, more restful sleep, helps with mood, helps with water retention, and progesterone helps convert T4 to T3. So now we bring that back around to the thyroid and connect it back to the thyroid. So all the hormones are important. I focus on thyroid, testosterone, insulin when we're really talking about weight loss because those are the that's the main focus. And then we start branching out. Like you said, the ferritin can come in. That can play a role with weight. Estrogen and progesterone can come in and play a role with weight. Ultimately, we're all looking at everything in an individual, but I think when we're talking about weight, those top three are the most important.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I see a lot of providers doing women wrong in prescribing estrogen only with people that don't have a uterus, and it drives me nuts. I'm like, so you need progesterone if you're getting estrogen. I don't care if you have a uterus or not. You're in a hormone imbalance if you are not getting progesterone with your estrogen.
Exactly. Yeah. It should never be unopposed ever, ever, ever. And just the benefits. I mean, then you're missing out on the benefits of progesterone, which have, I mean, progesterone has its own laundry list next to estradiol, both, I mean, and testosterone, all hormones give you life. Hormones protect, hormones anti-age. They protect against the diseases of aging, cardiovascular disease, bone loss, Alzheimer's, dementia. Hormones literally protect you. So you want all three playing together.
And I even hear a lot of women be like, well, I don't need hormones. I'm not having any symptoms. I'm like, but you need them to preserve your longevity. Like you might not be having symptoms of hot flashes. Right. And it's not for everyone. Like you need to make an educated decision and you need to research it. But it's not just for hot flashes. It's for cardiovascular protection and your bone health and muscle wasting and protecting you against dementia and Alzheimer's. And there's all these things that it's for besides just hot flashes.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, it's longevity. This is a long game. It's a short game and the long game when we're playing with
hormones. So don't be – I think that's the number one thing. Like women need to not be – the Women's Health Initiative did a really big disservice on scaring people off of their hormones. And you shouldn't be scared to take them.
Right.
Awesome. Exactly. Well, this has been super fun and informative. Thank you for coming on.
Yes.
Shauna has like a super fun question that we ask everyone before we end the podcast. So I'm really interested in hearing your answer. So Shauna, go for it.
Okay. So Dr. Amy, tell me, if you could be one Disney princess, which Disney princess would you be?
Oh my God. You didn't even prep me for
surprise.
This one. Okay. Disney princess. Oh my God. Oh gosh. Well, see, so I'm 50 and my family took me to Disney World every year of my childhood life.
Same.
So I gotta go with the tried and true Cinderella because come on.
I can see it. I can see you with the bun up there in that beautiful blue dress. I can see it.
With the and the castle and all the little things flying around and the whole prince is Prince Charming or is that Snow White?
I think it's Prince Charming with Snow White.
Getting my princess mixed up.
I don't pay attention to the princess.
Who did Cinderella get? Who'd she
get? I thought he was a prince.
He was a prince, but I don't know.
Because she left her slipper at the ball.
But did he have a name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. He must not have been.
They're all Prince Charming.
He must not have been that important.
They're all getting mixed up.
The only prince I know is Aladdin.
Yeah.
Because,
a lot. That was a good, Beauty and the Beast was good. They're just all good.
See, now we're just memory lane.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this was so awesome. So we really, really appreciate you coming on our show for sure. And we'll link all of your social medias, your website and everything below. So that way, if everyone wants to go and check you out, which I'm sure they will and that they should, then they'll be able to access all your information down below.
Very cool. And we'll set up a code for you guys too.
Oh yeah.
So
perfect.
We'll give your listeners 10% off. So you can throw that code down below. And if they want to try out T2, if they want to jump on HashiFix or blood sugar, they can jump on
them. I think most of them just get the whole bundle. I might just get the thyroid bundle. That's
What
most of you need.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you for all that you do.
Yes, thank you so much. And ladies, if you don't mind, please share the podcast and leave us a kind review and a 5-star rating. And we'll catch you next week. See ya.